God bless you. Thank you so much, worship team, and thank you, folks, for coming out on a beautiful day like today. It is gorgeous outside, and I just put in a request this morning in prayer. I said, Lord, if you can just leave it like this. You know, he has control. Hey, Brother Redout, Sister Redout, good to see you. Our missionaries, friends from Louisiana. We love missionaries at Oak Grove, don't we? Missions Convention is coming up really soon. I think in a couple of weeks, Tyler Crowder will be here. Pastor Tyler Crowder, may I say. He's at the great church in Bedford, Kentucky. And they left with two, coming back with three. Ha ha, bringing a little baby. You know, Tyler and Tracy thinks we invited them, but we really invited the baby. We invited the baby. Make them feel loved. Hallelujah. We are so excited you're here. We want to preach. We've been in a series on the heart, and I had a good time preaching the ones previous. As I studied and prepared for this one, I thought, Lord, what would you next week? Could you make something better, you know, easier to handle than this? Transformation of the heart. We believe in transformation at Oak Grove. Today, we're going to talk to you about the heart as well. Examining your heart. And when it gets personal, it gets very personal. The heart is a major issue. It's a major organ in your body, but it's a major issue in the kingdom. And God always talks to the heart. He always talks about the heart. And today, we're going to try to examine the heart. We're going to try to define the heart. And so, if I asked you to take your finger and point to yourself, go ahead, take your finger and point to yourself. Where would you point? Isn't that amazing? Come on now, look at you. Keep your finger where you pointed. Isn't that amazing? We point to our heart. I mean, it's amazing to me. No one would point to their head. I mean, you know, that's interesting. I think in spite of great importance of great thinking and intellect, instinctively, We know our intellect is not the most important thing, and we almost never say to someone we love, I give you all my brains. To you, I give all my brains. You know, that's not much for me to give away anyway. We often do give them a piece of our mind, don't we? But we've never heard anybody say, I devote myself to this cause. I hereby dedicate my full bladder to this future venture. I pledge to thee my lungs. Never happens. So when we're talking about the aspect of ourselves that's most central to who we are and what we want to bring to life, we speak about the heart. Yeah, we point to our heart. We salute our heart. We talk about our heart. Because the heart is actually the center of life. We don't mean our cardiomuscular heart, though it's amazing. It pumps power into our lives. It makes us, you know, live, right? Without the blood, we're dead. Without the heart. And so, but spiritually, though, it brings us into a deeper aspect of our being, and it speaks to the heart. It's talking about spiritual pump at the center of all of us, our very center of being. And so last week I talked about your heart is not just your feelings. It's a fundamental spirit or will that determines what your feelings or thoughts that you entertain in life. You will either reject some things or you accept some things. And all of that comes from your heart. It's a central focus of your life. It's a set of core of convictions. Your motives determine whether you will even listening to me right now. It's all coming from your heart. You set your heart on what I'm about to say, or you just, your heart is just forgetting what I'm about to say. But I think this is an important message, and it's kind of heavy on the front end, but we're going to shout on the back end. Are you ready? All right, let's do this. Then we're going to go to our text, Jeremiah 17, 1 through 10, third part of the series, Examining Your Heart. Are you there? Say amen. All right, Jeremiah 17, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, a pen of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars. Gets personal. While their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees and on the high hills. God says, oh, my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasures and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage, which I gave you. You let go of your heritage. That's huge. And I will cause you to serve your enemies into the land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Oh, listen, when you make God angry, you made somebody angry. You make me angry, we'll get over in about 5 minutes. But if you make God angry, he said, kindled a fire that burned forever. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose hearts depart from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, not the tree in the river. A shrub in the desert shall not see when good comes. Can't even see the good things of the living. He can't see when good comes. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. No fruit there. There's no trees there. No shade, no provision, no food. But blessed is a man who trusts the Lord. Help me out now. That first part got heavy, but I need you to help shout with me a little bit. But blessed is the man, hallelujah, who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. He will not fear or her when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately is wicked. Who can know the heart? I, the Lord, search the heart. There's the answer. Amen. I, the Lord, search the heart, and I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of their doing. My goodness, it's your heart. It's serious. It seeps into every conversation. It dictates every relationship. We live. We parent. We lead. We instruct, we romance, we confront, we react, respond, instruct, manage, problem solve. Everything we do, it comes from the heart. We love from the heart. We hate from the heart. Everything. Our hearts impact our intensity of our communication. Our hearts have the potential to exaggerate our sensitivities and our insensitivities. Every area of life intersects with what's going on in our heart. Everything passes through on its way to wherever it's going. It has to pass through the heart. It's like the gate. It's like the gate of all of your emotions. It's your will, your mind, your decisions. Everything comes from the heart. And we talked about in our first lesson, guard your heart, for out of it come the issues of life. Everything you deal with comes from your heart. So there's nothing more important than your inner life, what's in your heart. And one of the biggest revelations I've received from the Lord is that my real life is the life that's in me. You know, sometimes there's you and then there's you, the real you. I'm not going to ask the real you to please stand. You know, remember that movie or that game show? Will the real person please stand? You have to look a little deeper to find that real you. And that's transformation. Aren't you glad for what Jesus did on the cross? Without him, our hearts are in bad shape. And today we're going to try to identify and define what it is. Because it's true. Life is not just your circumstances. It's not the kind of house you live in. That's not the true issue of life. It's not the kind of job you have or how much money you have. You can have the best of these things. I know people who have everything and are still miserable, unhappy, wretched beings. So on the other hand, though, it's amazing how happy and peaceful you can be in the middle of the lousiest circumstances if your heart is right with God. So it does. It does matter. It matters. And taking time to keep your heart pure is simply cleaning out the basement. How many of you ever clean out your garage, your basement, your attic? Some of you say, I don't ever want to go in there. Well, we're about to go where no man has gone before. Yes, we are. We're going to take a look into the heart. Yep, the chamber is about to be opened. It's very private, very intimate, very secret place. Nobody wants to go there, but God's telling us about the heart. And the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. That's the deal today. So it's not outward, it's inward, and it's diseased, and it's not simply skin surface. It goes deeper. It's a deadly cancer. It's deep within our soul. And we read Jeremiah, we find that Israel had dabbled in religious apostasy, insincerity, dishonesty, adultery, injustice, slander of one another, And because of it, God says in verse 1, chapter 17, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. A pen of iron. That was intriguing to me, a pen of iron. I can just imagine this ink pen, you know, that's 6 foot tall, made out of iron. God's writing. God has big hands, right? He didn't even need paper. He writes on the wall. God is big. And he says that he's writing with a pen. A pen of iron was an instrument used to engrave the name of the god that they worship upon the bottom of the god. Just like we have our little trophies and we engrave on the trophy this pen of iron. Actually a diamond. So we're rushed to judgment. Let's hold off. You can stay there for a little while, but we'll get there. How many is excited to get this message going? They are up there. I guarantee you that. So just hold on. This is just the introduction. We're going into the heart. The wicked, deceptive heart. So I don't want to get too ugly too fast. But what an awful picture for us today. God told them, verse 4, that they would forfeit the land that was promised because of their heart. They would forfeit it because of the sin, that they would be carried away to Babylon and into captivity. And so he said, upon the horns of the altar was the place. It's important because upon the horns of the altar was the place where the sacrifice was and the blood was. And because there was no blood there, their heart was without the blood. If there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You understand? Without the blood on the altar, there is no. So this is a heart God is describing today, a heart without him. A wicked heart. And so because of unbelief, they were broken off. How many glad we got grafted in? Come on, now we Gentiles, is any Jews here? Because you're only one of two people, Jew or Gentile. So how many Gentiles are in the house? Let me see your hand. Am I a Gentile? Okay. Either that or you're a Jew. God bless you. No, I'm teasing. But I believe the verse in which we're reading here, I believe it's there because Paul also talks about in Romans 11, we look at the children of Judah and think of their sin and think of their hardened hearts. We fail to see our own hearts and our own sin, and we have failed miserably. So I want to ask you today as we get started here, what's in your heart? Not what's in your wallet. We already got that out at the offering. We want to know what's in your heart. Are there any idols? Have you examined your heart? The Bible calls the heart the seat of the treasure of affections. Place where emotion evolves and the will is exercised. So it's the source of decisions. Wisdom deposits all of your effects of speech and conduct. It's the very source of everything. So what does Jeremiah say? He said it is deceitful above all things. He says it's ultimately deceptive. So number one, if you're taking notes, we're caught up now. The introduction's over. Say praise God. I know it wooed you and wowed you. But I'm not here to woo you or wow you. I said, I'm not here to woo you or wow you. I'm here to tell you as your pastor, open your heart. Go there. Don't be afraid. Let's look in to see it. Why is it foolishness? You know, Jeremiah said, you know, you trust each other. You know, it's foolishness to trust in one another. Jeremiah says the heart is ultimate deceptive. It's deceitful above all things. It's also, secondly, if you're taking the notes, you don't have to worry about it later. It's desperately wicked. Don't go there. Just stay there, up there. And thirdly, it is infinitely elusive. You know, nobody knows it. And so look at ultimate deceptiveness. First of all, God is saying here, it's foolishness. It's absolutely folly to trust men and women. And they were trusting in each other. They were trusting in Judah. They trusted in the Israel of God instead of the God of Israel. It's kind of like the Israelites when they said, we want to go back to Egypt. They trusted in man's strength in Egypt above God's strength. And so instead of getting, you know, Egypt out of them, they still had Egypt in them. Their hearts were rebellious, hard-hearted, stiff-necked. So why is it foolishness, right? They were not trusting in God. They were trusting their brothers and sisters in the Israel. It's foolish because God says we are frail. Not only are we frail, but we're false. We're deceitful and we're deceptive. Why would you trust in the flesh, in the strong arm of the flesh? Why would you trust in chariots and horses? And why would you trust in kings and nations and leaders? Why would you trust in men and women? Trust in God alone. Amen? That's the point. God's trying to make a point here. And he's saying, just like Judah, it's very time that we are not trusting God. It's time for us to stop deceiving ourselves, because the heart is deceitful. Matthew Henry, a great commentator. I like Matthew Henry. Sometimes he put it like this: our hopes and fears rise or fall according to second causes. Second causes. They shrink or frown. He said, in other words, our happiness is depending not on what is in our heart, but depending on our environment, or what is happening to us, around us. And depending on whether the secondary sources, Henry says, it rises or frowns upon us. In other words, if things are good or bad, that's actually where the word happiness comes from. The root word hap. Hap describes luck, happenstance. You just lucked up on it. Something just accidentally happened. Can I tell you, you didn't just accidentally get here today. This just happened. God orchestrates our lives, right? He knows exactly what's going on in your life. So it's not by chance or circumstance that we come to our life. It describes how we determine our disposition within our soul, our spirit. Happiness by what is happening around us. But God says, that's not happiness. That is not joy. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to go a little deeper than that. Go into your heart. Go to your heart. Because out of your heart becomes the true issues of life. Stop worrying about everything around you and all the problems around you. Get your eyes on me. Man can't help you, but I can. David said, I look toward the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He had a declaration. He had faith. He understood, man can not help me at all. Not help me at all. Not here to diss man. I'm here to glorify God. That's what he's saying. So he tells us, first of all, our heart is deceitful by its very nature. You know, we were born in sin. We're born in iniquity. It's not something God did. He gave us a perfect heart. It's sin that came in, and sin would disrupt what God intended. And so it's talking about our unconscious wickedness, our unconscious wickedness. I wanted to say that because that maybe it'll make sense to you. It's talking about that that you're not aware. We don't even suspect the sin at times is in our being, born in iniquity. And that's why he said deceitful above all things. It's deceptive, and it's ultimately deceitful. Man, to deceive yourself is to really be deceived. It's bad news about everything that is. Our hearts are deceitful. It is subtle. It's false. It is like Jacob, whose name is twister, liar, supplanter. And you'll see in the Bible, sometimes God calls Jacob Jacob, and sometimes he calls him Israel. He actually had to have an encounter with God to change his name. I mean, when you encounter God, he'll change your name, and he'll engrave his name on your heart. And he'll take that old stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He'll soften it up. You won't be calloused and hard and wicked and rude and evil and deceitful. Only God can do that. Aren't you glad God can? So we're wicked, deceiving, glory to God, two things. When I find my heart, would somebody find it? It's two things about that first point is it's wicked by nature and it's wicked by choice. Stay right there. I don't want to spend too much time on this point, but it's important that you get this. How can we know the evidence of this? It's wicked by nature, okay? We're not conscious of it. But how do we know then that our hearts are deceitful? We can see it by the fruit of our hearts. Another prophet said it this way: when they call evil good and good evil, you know you have a wicked heart. You have a deceitful heart. You deceive yourself into calling evil good and good evil. You're deceived. Your wicked, unaware conscience is telling you that's good when you know it's not good. You should know because you have deceived yourself. Your eyes have been veiled. You're blinded by the god of this world. How many know the devil has duped the church? You want to know who has the hardest heart? It's not the hardened criminal. It's the saints who hear the gospel week after week after week and still don't respond to the gospel. That's the hardness of the heart. Their ears become dull of hearing. The wicked man who never heard hears and responds. The church, they hear it week after week and say, I don't need it. I'm numb to it. He's not talking to me. That's my brother. That's my sister. I don't stand in need of prayer. Somebody else he's talking to. He must be talking to some of them wicked people. I want you to understand, he's talking to Israel, his own people. So I want you to get this, because When people in society can tell the difference, within the church we can tell. When you put a false color on something, you can be sure is foolproof that you have a diseased heart. Put on a mask, you're lying, you're deceiving. Men say peace, peace, when there's no peace around. That's politics. That's not Christianity. So when repentance is preached and when sin is preached, even within the church of God, there's a murmuring and a complaining. I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. I just want guilt-free preaching. I don't want to leave with my toes stepped on. I don't know about you, but I like leaving church with my toes stepped on. And furthermore, I don't want you to just step on them. I want you to bring me to the altar, wrap it up, and heal it. Don't just step on them. Yeah, I just stepped on your toes. I'm here to just step on your toes. No, I don't want to step on your toes. I want you to bring that old ugly toe up here. Let's wrap it up with the oil of gladness and the Holy Ghost and heal it. Let's take care of that wicked heart. Don't just leave with the same heart you came in, old beat up heart now. So pastor's not here to beat up on any hearts. I'm here to tell you, God says the definition of your heart, unconsciously, by nature, is wicked. It's deceitful. And I know that when repentance is preached and all of that, people don't like that. But you know what? God knows your heart. It's a sure sign of your heart if you're murmuring about that stuff. And Jesus said, Mark 7, if you want to turn, you don't have to turn there, but verse 21, for from within, out of our heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. What? Have you taken a little walk to the basement? Did you know all that was in there? Man, that's what Jesus said. Now, you take that up with Jesus. All these evil things come from within, and that's what defiles a man. It's not what comes from the outside that defiles him. It's what's in you. See? So the world's concerned about happiness, but God's not worried about your comfort. He's worried about your conversion. He wants to convert your heart. He wants to transform your heart. He wants to take that old wicked heart and transplant it. Some of us need a transplant. A.W. Tozer put it like this: God is more concerned with the state of people's hearts than with the state of their feelings. Our hearts are deceitful. Do you notice the Lord didn't just stop to prove the fact? He said, this is the way your heart is, okay? Because it's self-evident in the way you live. Your life determines the condition of your heart, okay? So it's not like it's a secret, okay? If you see hornets flying in an old dead log in the woods, you immediately say, there's a hornet's nest in there. You see the hornets flying, right? You just conclude, hornet's dead log nest. And so it's kind of like that. When we see sin flying all in and out of your life, we must say that sin's not coming out of us. Sin is in us. Whatever's in you is going to come out of you, is basically it. So by nature, also by choice, I think this is important. I believe you can backslide, my friend. Israel backslid. Israel forgot God and backslid. They hardened their heart. They stiffened their neck. They rebelled against the one and only God. And if you look at verse 7 and 6 in the passage here, you'll see these men and women have chosen to go to this direction. They chose this direction because he shows it by the conduct of a godly man. He said, here you go, contrasting. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. That there's a choice there. The will has made a choice to walk after God. You know what? If you don't want to walk after God, I don't care what I say today, you're not going to walk after God. You have to surrender your will to God and then change by repentance and change. I mean, the old thing has to be passed away and transformation has to be made. You can even come and say a prayer and walk out just as evil as you walked in. It has to be a surrendered will to God's will. I believe God is the ruler of my life, and therefore he sits on the throne of my heart, not me. And he wants to engrave with the iron pen his name on your heart. That's what he wants to do. And in just a little while, we're going to let you come and examine your heart. Pastor's not here to examine your heart. I don't know your heart. But by choice, or by nature for sure, but by choice, people make decisions. They whisper to themselves, there is no God. And now six women went down to a cave and found our cousin. Did you see that? I didn't even know I had a cousin that far down in the caves. I've got claustrophobia. I would have never found my cousin. But they've deceived themselves into believing there is no God. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's the deception, see? And so, some of you might like the little cousin. I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, you didn't come from a monkey. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. Because my heart is not deceived. I trust in God. I don't trust in man. What if they're dumb? You know what happens today? You find out you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat this, you shouldn't drink that. Then all of a sudden they come back about 10 years later. You know, I'm sorry. You could have ate all of that. We were wrong. What, are you kidding me? I was raised Catholic. You couldn't eat meat on Friday. And then one day the Pope changed his mind. You could eat meat on Friday. Are you kidding me? I could have had hot dogs on Friday all my growing up years. Never trust in man. Man is fickle and they change their mind and they just, you're never going to know. It's good, it's not good. This is good, not good. And you can't even trust yourself, much less man. That's what he's trying to say. So I hope you're getting this because it's not good. A man's doom is not just because he's a sinner by nature. He's a sinner by choice. You're a self-deceiver if you think God created male and female. He made them both. That's how it works. You're deceiving yourself. It's amazing to me. They both people want to act like a male or a female. They're acting out the truth that they just refuse to believe in their mind. And then they want children. They want children they're adopting. It's like, why do you want children? Why don't you try to make one? Oh, it doesn't work. Why don't you have a child evolve into your child? Would you get a monkey? Maybe he'll be your baby someday. See how dumb the world is? I wish somebody helped me preach this. It's not easy. But the world's confused, man. You put your trust in men, you're going to be whacked out. They're confusing. They are confused. I can't keep up with it. It's just, oh man, self-destroyer. His heart within him, the depths of who he is ultimately deception. Number two is to say that it has desperate wickedness. Without God, man's heart is desperately wicked. Wow. Says, Pastor, it's the same thing. Well, it translates like this, okay, that it has incurability. It is mortally sick. There's nothing that can help the desperate wickedness of the heart. It's often alluded to as the conscience. And in there, there's nothing like a clear conscience. I mean, there's nothing like a clear conscience. And there's nothing like a pure heart. In fact, Matthew 5 says, the pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. See, because in this text, they couldn't see. They couldn't see. They're like shrub in the desert. Couldn't even see the error of their ways. Trusting in men. And God's pretty miffed. He's not happy. He made it God angry. Boy. It's been put into our beings to put things right that are wrong. It's by nature you have been built to put things right that are wrong. You have a moral compass inside of you. And that's why I think Romans 1 says that all men were without excuse. Because all of creation tells us that God is. You can look at the mountains and the seas and say, somebody made this and it wasn't me. How many believe God can reveal himself by nature? And that's why if we don't get the gospel to them, they still ought to know. Their conscience tells them. So all men is without excuse. And it goes on in Romans 1 to say they have exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship the creature instead of the creator. They're engraving things to their God. And he said, I am a jealous God and there is no other. And I want to engrave my name on your heart. All he wants is your heart. He don't want your tithe. He don't want your time. He don't want your money. He don't want nothing. He wants your heart. It's all he wants. It's the very thing we seemingly don't want to give. Because it's everything who we really are. Okay? So what hope is there for man then? What's going to happen to man? It's like a ruler that's too sharp. can't measure a thing. It's like a balance that's uneven. It's broke. It's like a clock that won't. I have a clock in my bathroom. I put a new battery in it, and I love that clock. It's like the Globe. You know that one you bought me? I love that clock. I put it in the bathroom because it can never tell time. And when I'm in the bathroom, I don't care what time it is. But I'll look at the clock, and it's just wrong time. I just put a brand new battery, wrong time. And your heart's like that. It's so wicked. It's like a clock that never is too slow. It just can't get there. Don't buy me a clock. I know some of you do that. One time I said I love Andy's. I had gift cards all week long. By the way, I love Andy's. Just telling you, my heart is wicked. No. I asked a question for all of us today. What will happen to a man or a woman when the light proves false? You think there's light in your heart and there's nothing but darkness. And so when God's deputy within the soul is deceiving men and women because of the deceitfulness of their heart and ultimate wickedness of it, it's like a lighthouse guiding ships into the rocks. Your heart is like a lighthouse that's going to guide your life into the rocks. Without God, you're wicked. There's none righteous. No, not one of us. Say your heart, I say my heart. Our hearts. And so, sin and the devil will always find helpers inside of your heart. The enemy of the believer is sin, the flesh, and the world. The devil. Because it's deceitful above all things. So why did I do that? Have you ever said that? Have you ever contemplated, why did I do that? It's like Steve Urkel, did I do that? And then the other thing I hear, so it's not like me. That's not like me to do that. Well, who else was it, honey? You live there. It's your address. You wrote your name on it. It's you. Hey, it's you. I have met the enemy, and it is I, right? And so our hearts have ultimate deceptive, desperate wickedness. And finally, our hearts are left without God. Left without God, your heart cannot be trusted. Can't trust your heart, okay? One man translated it like this. Who can perceive your heart? Who can understand it? Who can be acquainted with his own heart and his own mind? Jeremiah is saying, I don't even know myself. So a few weeks ago, I said, I know this. I know God knows me. But today I'm telling you, you don't know you. Most people don't know what really value is anymore. The value, men don't know their own value. They don't know their heart. And they forget real easy. So a thought comes to your mind, into your heart, and you're tempted to sin in a certain way, and maybe you fall into a certain sin, and you think to yourself, why did I do that? You don't even know yourself. Why am I found here? It's not like me. The reason why you say that is because you don't know you. And I want you to see this. Who's asking the question here? It's God. God. Here's the word of the Lord from Jeremiah saying. It's God saying. Man's heart is deceptively wicked. And who knows it? God saying, who knows it? How many know he knows the answer to the question? It's not like God has amnesia. It's rhetorical. It's a rhetorical question. Who knows the heart of man? God's asking the question. And he knows all things, right? Isn't God omniscient? I mean, here, anybody believe God is omniscient? Of course he's omniscient. He knows everything. God is asking the question, and he knows who is everywhere and who he sees into the heart at this moment. He's asking, who can know your heart but me? That's the answer. He said, I'm the only one, and I will search your heart. I will try your mind. I will bring you to the basement, open up your ugly heart, and tell you, I'm here to save you. I'm here to cover that old filthy, wicked heart. And give you, I'm taking that old one out. I'm going to put a new one in. Hey, new hearts for old. God's got a deal going on today. New hearts for old. You're not going to survive with that old heart, my friend. You and I are in our worst way with that wicked heart. Say, well, Pastor, I don't know. You know, I'm not suggesting that God doesn't know. I'm telling you, God begins to answer the question. He wants to show us the depths of the elusiveness, the deception, the wickedness of the heart. He's saying, we can't even describe how bad your heart is. We can't know how we'll behave when we're faced with the same temptation. Like the Apostle Peter who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will die for you. Jesus said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. Oh, I want you to get it because it's from the words of the Lord. I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. How many know it takes faith to believe in God? I said it takes faith to believe that God can take a stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. It takes faith to be transformed. It's more than a little prayer at the altar. You need faith to believe that, first of all, He is God, and secondly, He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's who God is. And so Peter said, I will never deny you before the rooster crows three times. You'll deny me. Three times. He what happened? He came to that point of pressure that we all think, I'll never fall for that. That's not me. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I'm God's kid. Well, Peter fell for it. Paul, in Romans 7, testifies the things he wanted to do, he couldn't do, and the things he didn't want to do, he ended up doing. Note of frustration and agony, Paul's like, hey, I'm the Apostle Paul, the chiefest of sinners. How many know humility will help you along the way with your heart? A humble heart will always lead to a godly heart. Paul says, man, I can't believe it. Don't we all feel that sometimes? As believers, you can see clearly the Israelites and Judah were foolish in trusting other men because God was telling them that you can't even trust yourself. But God's directing us by the Holy Spirit in this verse to see. He can see your heart. He understands your heart. It's not blind to Him. It's blind to us. It doesn't baffle the Lord. Look at verse 10. The Lord searches the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Can I tell you, the righteous judge will take care of this. If somebody has wronged you, how many believe the God of all the earth will do right? I, the Lord, search the heart. God knows our hearts. He sees our hearts. He knows all of my thoughts. He knows all of our feelings. He knows the common feelings. He knows the rare feelings. He knows the motives. He knows the interest. He knows my future interest. He knows my interest right now. He knows if you want to get out of here and go to the restaurant or if you want to stay here and go to the altar. And we cleverly, artfully disguise our hearts and industrially conceal from those around us, the nearest to us and the dearest to us. God knows. He says, not only does He know, but He weighs it. He tries it. You see, Israel always, as they were selling all the doves and all the different things for the sacrifices in the temple, they would cheat and deceive and weigh, put more. They'd get away with murder. But not Jesus. He said, I try the reins. I put what I know into my holy balances, and I judge you, and I judge your heart. And it's like Belshazzar and his drunken orgy that the finger of God writes on our hearts. Thou art weighed and found wanting. He will weigh what you have, and you will be good or bad. You can run from people, but you can't hide from God. And I want to finish this on a beautiful note. Somebody say, beautiful note. Because all that was heavy, and I'm thankful, God, that we're done. But it's important that we set it. You know, I have to preach the whole counsel of God. We have to preach the truth. But the psalmist tells us in Psalm 4 and verse 14, listen, stand in awe and commune with your heart. Man, in Isaiah, I believe, said, come, let us reason together. Come talk to God. Talk to God. Though your sins be as wicked. Right? Your heart is wicked. I can help you make a soft heart. I can exchange that out. There's enough. Look what, this is powerful. Spurgeon said this. There is enough tinder in the heart of the best men in the world to light a fire that shall burn to the lowest hell. Tinder is like wood. There's enough kindling in the heart of the best man in the world to light a fire that can burn the lowest hell. You know what that says is that no matter how good you think you are, on your best day, you have the propensity and the potential to walk after the flesh and not after the Spirit. Now Romans 8 starts off and says, hey, wait a minute now. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But if you walk after the flesh, you'll condemn yourself. You'll have condemnation. God won't condemn you because He will forgive you. But if you walk away with a hard, callous heart and your ears become dull of hearing and you drift and you drift and you drift and you drift and Sunday church is not that important anymore and then all of a sudden, you know, tithing is not that important anymore and Bible study is not that important anymore and prayer, I'll let them pray. They'll pray. If you're not praying, you're straying. And there's all there is to it. And so unless God should quench the sparks as they fall, this is the finishing of Spurgeon, there's enough corruption, depravity, and wickedness in the heart of the most holy man that is now alive to damn his soul to all eternity. If the free and the sovereign grace does not prevent it, but I'm here to shout it to you some good news. How many glad for the free and sovereign grace of our God? How many glad we have a God that loves us and knows us, will search us. Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Hallelujah. We used to sing that at the altar. We'd cry, O God, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. But we used to go to the altar. You have to go to the altar. You have to go to the place where the horns of the altar, and you have to apply the blood and get the forgiveness. How many know that's how it goes? Apart from that, you are lost, confused, and depraved. Oh, man, this is serious. And we stand in awe of our own diseased, sinful hearts and wonder at it. Isn't it wonderful to know our God searches our hearts and weighs our hearts? Chrissy, if you'll come back, we want to get to the altar. Here's something specific I want us to do in the altar today, and I'm done early, so I wanted you to hear this. Greater is the grace of God than the wickedness of your heart. Oh, man. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? There's greater grace. We used to sing the old hymn. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Remember that song? Grace is greater than all my sin. The grace of God. That's why Jesus came. There won't be any more bulls and goats. How many know he was the one and only, the last? You don't have to go kill a goat. You don't have to go wrestle him and tie him up. Jesus took care of it all. Somebody needs to get excited about Calvary because that's why we can rejoice today, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's written his name on your heart. That's all he really wants, the grace of God. And then I love 1 John 3:20. Would you stand while I'll read this last verse and we'll let you come to the altar? Because I believe some of you need to do some examining. You need to go into that basement. Open the chamber of your heart. It may be solemn. It may be quiet like last week. It doesn't matter to me. I really don't care if you shout or not. I do care if you respond to God. Look what it says. I love this. 1 John 3:20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Hallelujah! If your heart is condemning you today, hear me. God's greater than your heart, and he knows everything. He knew you'd be in the condition you were in before you got into that condition. He wasn't caught off guard by Adam and Eve. He had a plan from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wasn't a plan B. Jesus paid it all. Would you just lift your hands in the air? Let's thank the Lord for that. The grace of God. He's greater than your sin. He's greater. He's not here to condemn you. Neither am I. Our God is greater than man's depravity. Our God's holier. And he cannot look on iniquity. But when he looks on you, he sees the blood. I said, he sees the blood. When my heart condemns me, my God is able to save me. God is able. I'm asking you this morning to look into your heart. What is in your heart? Maybe your heart is callous today. Maybe your heart is hard. Maybe your heart is hurtful. Maybe your heart is resenting God because you thought you deserved something He didn't give you. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you're deceiving yourself. Jesus is a friend of a wounded heart. I beg you this morning. I beg you. I beg you. Give God your heart. The altar is open. If you're here for the, you've never given your heart to God, I invite you. Jesus welcomes you. I know this message seemed to be heavy on the front end because it seemed like condemning, but it really is good news. The grace of God has appeared to all men everywhere. And men from everywhere can come, bow their knee before Jesus, and He will forgive you by His precious blood. Come, examine your heart. Let Him, take the searchlight of the Holy Spirit, put it in there. Move as the Holy Spirit directs you. You have a hard heart? Come let Him soften it by the Holy Spirit. You have a bitter heart? Come find forgiveness. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, come find Him today. Let's worship the Lord. Heart to Jesus. The Lord didn't want no wicked heart. We just talk like we gave my heart. No, Jesus gave you a new heart. That's a better way to say that. I love you with all my heart. Come on, come on. How many want to just come? How many love the Lord? Let me see your hand. You love the Lord today. Come on, bring your heart to God. Bring your heart to God. Offer up a sacrifice of praise. Say, God, I give you my heart today. I give you my life. I surrender my will. Lord, your way is my way. Your will is my will. Nevertheless, Lord, not what I want, but what you want. I want to walk in obedience. I want to walk in faith. I want to walk in victory. Maybe Satan has put a veil on your eye. Maybe you've been deceiving yourself. Maybe somebody's been deceiving you. Maybe you didn't know that the heart of man was deceitfully wicked. Who knows it but one? Come on, the Holy Spirit's moving. Let Him move, Lord, in your heart. Come on, come on, come on. If you're here for the first time and you need your heart to be right with God, I invite you to come. Come.
I live for
come, let Him open your heart. Let Him open your heart. Open your heart.
Every breath that I
open
take.
The eyes of my heart.
Every moment I'm away.
Open my ears. Let me hear what you're saying to my heart. Speak to me. Speak to my heart. Don't speak to my head. Speak to my heart. Come on, lift your hand and tell Him, speak to my heart, God. Speak now, Lord. Your servants are listening to you. I lay my life down. I lay my heart down. If you've never, come on, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you've never given that life away, you have to take a new heart.
Give myself away.
Give it to the Lord. The Lord's going to ask
give
some things of you this
morning. Away.
Seriously, the Lord's going to talk to you this morning. Those of you who have a pure
give
heart,
myself away.
Those of you whose heart is softened by the power of the Holy Spirit, God's going to speak to you right in this place.
Give myself
listen
away.
To me. He's going to speak to you right now. So I want you to incline your ear to the voice of the Spirit. Let Him speak to you. Come on, worship the Lord with us.
Here I am.
Here I am, God. Speak
here
to me.
Here I stand.
I stand in awe. I stand in awe.
Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see.
He wants to reveal
your
His heart to
desires
you.
Revealed.
Come on, let His desires be to your desire. Let His dream
give
be your dream.
Myself away.
Come on, come on. Let His dreams be your dreams. He wants to speak. Is there no word from the Lord? God wants to speak to you. He's calling you out. He's calling you out. Those of you who have a heart after God. Heart after God. Come on, bring your heart to God. Talk to Him. Tell Him, I love you, Lord.
Give myself away.
selfish heart. Come on, tell him. Sing that with us.
I give myself.
You've been bought with a price. The blood has covered your life. Come on.
My life is not my own. Lord, to you I belong. I give myself. Give myself to you.
I give you my family. I give you my problems.
My life is not my own.
I give you my burdens.
To
my
you
desires.
I belong.
Everything
I give myself.
Come on, empty your heart out to God. Pour your heart out to God. Come on. Give it all away. I give you whatever's in my heart. I give it to you.
Give myself away.
Cleanse my heart, oh God. Purify my heart, oh God.
I give myself away.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Here's the deal. It's easier to preach to sinners and hardened criminals than it is to preach to the church. It is. Because the church, you tell them, and you tell them 1,000 times, and they'll look at you like that. You, and they might respond, they might not respond. I'm here to tell you today, you respond to God. You don't respond to me. You're not responding to me. But I'm asking you, whether you walk up here or whether you stay in your pew, I'm asking you to take that key of the gospel light. Open up that heart and let the Holy Ghost shine in. And I'm asking you to put on the ears of your heart. Put ears on your heart. Put eyes on your heart. I want your heart to come alive, pump again. Some of you stopped beating. You lost your passion. You lost your pump. You lost your desires. You lost out with God. You're drifting and you're running away like Jonah. But God's saying to me and to you, I want your heart. So in a few minutes, we're just going to play softly. If there's something that God is speaking to you, let him in. I know it's private, I know it's personal, but I'm asking you to let God in. You already are saved, most of you. If you're not saved, you need to give your heart to Jesus. But most of you are already saved. Just because you're saved doesn't mean God cannot or will not give you dreams and visions. He'll speak to you in words. He'll give you assurance about a problem. He'll give you peace about a situation. He's a good God. How many found our God to be a good God? Come on now, let me see. How many things our God is a good God? He's not trying to withhold anything from you. He's just trying to tell you, don't put your trust in any man. Put it in me. Is anybody else meeting all of your needs? It's impossible. Only God. Only God. So put your complete trust in Him. If He tells you to do something, respond. And I'm certain that He will use you to change the world. He can do it. He loves you. He's got your best interest at heart. You can trust the Lord. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Tell Him, Lord, I trust you. I trust you today. I trust you with my future. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my dreams. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with my church. I trust you with my heart. Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe somebody shattered your dreams. Maybe somebody's crushed your future, crushed your heart. But God will never give you a raw deal. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Don't hold God accountable for what other people have done to you. Come on, talk to God. Lord, I need you. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone, God. I give you my life. I give you my family. I give you my heart. The blood of bulls and goats and sacrifices of rams. You don't want that. But a broken and a contrite heart, the Lord said He will not despise. Is your heart broken this morning? Is your heart broken this morning? May your heart break for what breaks His heart. Could you help me pray for those whose hearts are far from God? Would you lift your hand? Let's just pray, intercede for those around the world whose hearts are far from God. God, with unveiled faces, Israel was scared to go before you, God. They were scared that you would kill them. So they sent Moses up to be with you, God. But Jesus came and took the fear away. Jesus took the fear away. Oh God. Now the wrath of God is not going to be poured out on children of obedience, but on children of disobedience. So those are the ones we're praying for, Lord. We're not afraid to boldly approach the throne of grace today. Thank you for your grace today. Come on, church, help us thank Him. Help us thank Him for the grace of God, the almighty grace of God that's touched every one of us. Changed my old stony heart. He gave me a heart of flesh. Took the old life away and gave me a new life. And took the miserableness and gave me peace and joy within. I love you, God. And for out of the abundance of my heart, I want my mouth to speak. Help me like David, God, to learn to praise you. Praise you in the sanctuary with holy hands lifted high. My God, we stand before you in amazement and we commune with our hearts. Can I ask you today to talk to your heart? I know it's a little crazy, but that's what David said. Stand in awe and talk to your heart. Examine it. Hey, Ron Moran, how you doing, boy? You know, as psychologists, they call that self-talk. We're not talking about self-talk. We're talking about spiritually meeting with God. Because your heart's so wicked, if it's psychology, you're just going to deceive yourself even more. And say something like, yeah, Ron's doing great. Okay? But if it's the Holy Spirit will not lie to you. The Holy Spirit will put His finger right on it. The best thing you could do is talk to your heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in you. Could it be that our heart is so clouded and cluttered we can't even walk in there? Somebody needs to respond to the Lord this morning. Say, clean out my heart. Get all the clutter out. I can't hear. So much of banging and noise. So many voices. So much grief and pain and junk. Clear it out. Get the gunk out. Get the gunk out. Get the junk out of my heart. Come on, say it with me. I'm helping you pray. I'm helping you pray. Some of you can't pray on your own. The Holy Ghost can help you pray. And then Pastor can help you pray too. Say, God, get the junk out of my heart. My arteries are clogging up. I'm about to have an attack. Because the blood can't pump, Lord. And if the blood doesn't pump through my veins, I'm dead. Can't breathe. Choking out the life of God out of me. Choking out my dreams and choking out my family, choking out my future. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening in the church. It's happening in the church. Satan is choking the life out of you. Clogging you up with a bunch of junk food. Come back tonight. We'll talk about spiritual growth. Your heart's filled with plaque. The plaque of complacency and the plaque of laziness and the plaque of indifference and the plaque. Somebody needs a bypass. It's amazing to me how you can go into your leg and take a vein, pull it all the way up into your heart, connect that thing together, and all of a sudden you start to pump. It's amazing. It's amazing to me, the myo. Oh, God of heaven, do surgery on our hearts. We are laid open and before you lie on the surgery table. On the surgery table of this altar, we are laid open and naked before you. Look at us. We've already gone over. If you've taken care of all the business you need to take care of, then you're dismissed to go. But we're going to worship just a little while. Just a little longer. We're going to stay quiet like this because God's talking to your heart and some of you are listening. So we're going to stay quiet like this. Have a great day. Don't forget to come back tonight. Don't forget to come back tonight. We're going to have a wonderful time talking about spiritual maturity, rooted and growing in the faith.